We are looking at a parable on prayer this evening. So in preparation for this evening's message, I've been really helped and encouraged. If you're like me, I struggle with praying. I can read my Bible, I can witness, I can get busy for the Lord, but praying, that's another kind of spiritual battle, isn't it? And the Lord knows we need encouragement when it comes to prayer. And we certainly have some wonderful, wonderful truths right here in Luke chapter 18 for us. So let's turn there in our Bibles this evening. Thank you for being here. And let's learn about prayer from Luke chapter 18. Let's read verses 1 to 8 to begin with. And then we'll ask the Lord to bless His word. Luke chapter 18, look with me in verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry night, day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this, another parable, Lord, another truth that we can uncover, Lord, this evening. Help us, Lord, to understand your word. Help us to be excited about what you want to teach us tonight. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Lord, in understanding how great your love is, how great your desire is to be with us and to fellowship with us. Help us, Lord, we now ask, and may your Holy Spirit lead us into your truth this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we come to our 25th study, our 25th parable this year, I trust you've been enjoying them. Some, as you know, are more difficult to understand than others. And here in this parable, the Lord doesn't make it secret, does he, about what this parable means and why he's teaching it. Because there in verse number 1, what does the Lord say? He spake this parable unto them to this end, for this reason, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. So this parable is about prayer. As I've mentioned already, the Lord knows we need help in this area. We need encouragement in this area. Because so often we forget the wonderful privilege we have in praying and all that the Lord has for us in prayer. Now, here in this story, just a little bit of background, we need to understand what's happening with this widow woman. This is the story the Lord is telling. Remember, a parable is a truth cast to the side. It is a story that's taught in order to help us learn a spiritual truth. So this is a made-up story. But it's a story that everyone in the Bible times would understand. It's a story about a widow. Now, this widow was in great need. In fact, in Bible times, every widow was very needy. Because when her husband died, the main breadwinner, the worker of the home, passed away. Therefore, widows more often than not were very poor. Remember, in biblical days, they didn't have Centrelink. They didn't have government help. They didn't have government services. So when a husband died, the widow was often left with all that her husband had, and that was it. Oftentimes, she couldn't work. Oftentimes, she had children to look after. She was despised and looked down on in the Jewish culture because she was a widow. And in fact, legally, she had very little rights either, because the man, he was the one who was the leader. He was the one that made the decisions, and legally he was responsible. But now, as a widow, she was left alone. So here we see a widow who was neglected. She was in need. She was abused perhaps by this adversary whom she was seeking justice against. Who knows what happened to her, but obviously she was very needy. She was very neglected. Someone had hurt her. Now, she went to the judge. Now, when you and I think about a law court, when we think about a judge, maybe you've driven past the Cairns Court, and you think about a big building, you think about a courtroom, and if you've ever been to Canberra, where I grew up, you would find the High Court there, a big glass building, very tall, majestic building, and that's what we think of when it comes to court, and judges. But remember, in Bible days, they didn't have such things. What happened in biblical times, judges moved around different towns, different cities in a circuit. And it was basically a tent in which the judge sat, and people would come to bring their needs or their cases to him. Now, the judge had assistants around him to check out each case, and only those that are worthwhile, those that were proper cases, the judge would hear. Now, as you can imagine, it wasn't the law that determined whether a case was worthy, it was the judge, based upon his personality or based upon his assistant's character. So if they were shady, and in fact if they want a little bit of money, well, often that's what happened. You had to bribe the judge to have a meeting with him. And oftentimes that's what happened. But can you imagine the widow woman's problem, her predicament? She was poor, so she had no money to give as a bribe. She was a woman who had no husband to represent her, so therefore the judge would not see her. So basically in this story, she did the only thing that she had left to do, which was to beg, to continue to come back day after day, to circle that tent, making a loud noise, even a nuisance of herself, begging for her case to be heard. Avenge me of mine adversary. That's the scene and the story that the Lord paints for us here. And this is the story that the Lord Jesus uses to encourage us to pray. Now, we need to be careful when we look at this parable, because this is a parable of contrasts. Okay, so lock that in to your minds this evening. This is a parable of contrast. The Lord is not saying we should be like the woman. And the Lord indeed is not saying he's like the judge. Because why? The judge is an unjust judge. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't believe in the law. He's an unjust judge. So remember, this is a parable of contrast. Well, first of all, in your notes, Roman numeral number one, let's look at the contrast of praying and fainting. Prayer and fainting. So your blank is the word fainting. So let's just look at verse number one. Here is the first contrast. The Lord said, we ought always to pray and not to faint. So what is the opposite of praying here in verse number one? Fainting. Now, if you've ever fainted before, you'll understand what that means. Who's ever fainted literally, physically before? Sorry, I put my hand up, but I never fainted. I remember going back to school, young people, after school holidays. You know, at school you do a lot of sports, a lot of running around, but when holiday comes, you usually laze around and don't do much sport. Well, anyway, I did. And then going back to school and then suddenly getting thrown into a new sport that you're learning and you're exhausted, it's summer, and suddenly you start to get dizzy. You know what? You've been there before. And remember, your eyes go dark and you start to see stars and you're puffed out and you realize, man, I'm not as physically fit as I thought I was. And maybe you've had that experience. Well, maybe you've fainted before. The word faint means to be weary. The word faint means to be weak. It means to fail. And some of you may have experienced what it feels like to have no energy and feel like you're going to fall over and literally collapse, to faint. Now, here's this word for the believer means someone who is so discouraged they want to quit. Let me ask you tonight, have you ever felt like quitting in life as a Christian? Have you ever felt the pressures of life so great upon you that you just feel like giving up? You know, the Lord knows that we'll face many times like that. And sometimes we will faint. But you remember what he warned us about in Hebrews chapter 12, there in your notes. Not all those verses are there, but I've given you parts of those verses. What does the Lord say? He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, there at the end of verse 3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, it's possible for us as Christians to take our eyes off the Lord and put our eyes on the world and our problems and our trials and forget about the Lord so much that we will faint, that we will collapse under the pressure, that we will break under the pressure, that we will fall over. Remember Hebrews chapter 12, what sport is the Lord using to describe the Christian life? A running race. So there we go. Sometimes when we're running, we get faint. You know, the Christian life is a humbling experience because God shows us we aren't really as strong as we think we are. Sometimes we think we can run the race and suddenly we trip over. Suddenly we faint. We realize, well, where's our strength gone? Where's my strength gone? And the Lord says at those times, we need to remember to look unto Jesus. It is possible to faint. It is possible to fall, but that's not the Lord's will, is it? He wants us to run. He wants us to run well. And when we do trip, when we do fall, He wants us to get back up. And He wants us to keep running. So what is the opposite of fainting? It is praying. That's right. Praying. The opposite to fainting is praying. So here's the encouragement. If we want to be Christians that live running, amen, finish the race with joy, we need to get our grip on this issue of prayer. Prayer, because you see, the opposite of praying is fainting. If we don't pray, we will faint. If we pray, we won't faint. You see, that's the first contrast here in verse number 1. But what does it mean to always pray? Now, is the Lord saying tonight, and you can give me an answer, is the Lord saying that we ought to pray with every breath that we breathe? Yes or no? No, He's not. And you know, the book of 1 Thessalonians says that we are to pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to always pray? Well, God is talking about being always ready to pray. Being in a spiritual state that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we are ready to pray. It means that you and I are in such a readiness to pray, it's just like breathing. We don't think about it. We don't pray with every breath that we breathe, but just like breathing, we are ready to pray. Whether it's in the workplace or when we're shopping, we are close to God and we are sensitive to the Lord so much that we say, Lord, please help me hand this invitation to the cashier. Lord, give me boldness. Lord, please save her soul. You know, we need to be always praying, especially when we are under the trials of life, and we need to remember the Lord. We need to pray to Him quickly. We need to respond quickly. Now, let's admit tonight, this kind of praying is not natural to us. In fact, let's be honest, we struggle with praying always, being always in a readiness to pray. And the Lord knows we need encouragement to do that. So that's what this parable will encourage us to do. But the choice is ours. We can either pray or we can either faint, fall, crumble. Prayer is important. We ought always to pray. So let's go on to Roman numeral number 2. Here's the next contrast and the encouragement. Notice the widow and the elect. The widow and the elect. In verse 7, the Lord said, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" Now remember, the widow doesn't represent the Christian just as much as the unjust judge doesn't represent the Lord. This is a parable of contrast. So in verses 2 to 5, what do we see? Well, the widow continues begging the judge for a hearing, begging the judge to judge this case and commit justice against her adversary. And what do we see the judge do? Well, he admits by his own selfishness that he's not going to listen to her because he should. He grew tired of her annoying crying outside the tent. Maybe he was embarrassed. Maybe he was ashamed, or he was just annoyed But it was because of a selfish reason that he listened to her cries. And the point that the Lord makes in verse number 7, look with me there. The Lord isn't saying he's like the judge. He's saying this. This is a point of contrast. He's saying, if a poor widow got what she deserved from a selfish judge, how much more will God's children, listen carefully, how much more will God's children's prayers be heard by their loving Heavenly Father? You see, if a poor, destitute widow with no rights and no access to the judge can be heard by a corrupt, unjust judge, then how much more can God's children, His own elect, have a right to come before the Lord and have their prayers not only heard but answered? You see, that's the contrast we're given. My friends, the widow was a stranger. But we are God's children. The word elect is very specifically used here, not to say that we are the only ones that can ever be saved and salvation's not for all, but if we are saved, if we have been saved, we are elected in Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. We are chosen in Christ and we are God's precious children. That means not only do we have the possibility to come to God, but we have every right to come before the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter number 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Why do we so often not pray? Because we behave like the widow. We think we have no right to come to the Lord. We wonder whether the Lord will hear us. My friends, if we are like the widow, we're in trouble. We need to realize who we have in the Lord. The Lord invites us to come to Him. The widow was not invited. She had to beg, she had to plead, she had to force her way in. But in contrast, the Lord invites us. Let us therefore come boldly to prayer. Amen. What a wonderful encouragement. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we have a great high priest. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where does He stand? Next to the Father. On the right hand. Now, when we pray, what does He do? He intercedes on our behalf. He prays on our behalf. Can you see the contrast between the widow, poor, destitute, and the child of God that has the richest inheritance in the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ? My friends, we have the riches of His grace. When we are under the pump, when we are going through a trial, we can say, Lord, give me grace, and He promises He will. You know, the widow had no promises. She just desperately did all that she could. But as Christians, we have every promise of God, don't we? We have confidence. We have a solid rock to stand on when we pray. You know, so often we pray like the widow. We think, well, maybe God will hear me, maybe He won't. I might as well give it a try and see what happens. What does the Bible tell us, brethren? If we come in faith, we have the confidence to know not only that He will hear us, the book of James says, but He will mightily answer our prayers if we come in faith. You see, we have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful Savior. We don't have an empty hope when we cry out in prayer. We have every hope. Amen? We have every confidence. And God has every power to meet our every need. Our every need. What is our problem? Well, we don't pray. That's our problem. Can we be honest? We don't pray. We try to run. And then the Lord says, okay, let's see how far that goes. And then we fall. And then sometimes we don't get back up. And I'm speaking from experience. Obviously, that was an honest testimony. Because it can't be that personal unless it's happened to me and we know it happens to you. Because we're Christians. We're sinners saved by grace. And so we try to live in our own strength. And then God says, no, you need me. That's why I'm in your life. I am your Savior. I am your strength. I want to perform miracles in your life. I want you to grow from strength to strength. As you run the race, I want your spiritual muscles to expand. Amen. I want your spiritual muscles to grow. I want you to grow in faith. That's what Hebrews is all about, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Amen. I want you to grow in faith. But the problem is we don't pray. So I hope this has already encouraged you to pray. Let's go on to the last point, the unjust judge and God. Here is the last contrast. The judge was unjust, and God is not unjust. The unjust judge and God. Notice verse number 8, the last verse in the parable. We're almost done. The Bible says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Now remember, God is not like this unjust judge. Amen? Thank God for that. Thank God we don't need to come before the throne of God trying to twist his arm. Amen? And beg and plead, not even knowing if he hears us. God is not like this judge. If we are not careful in understanding this is a parable of contrast, we will think we have to try and somehow twist God's arm into hearing us. That's not true at all. God is a loving Heavenly Father. And more than this judge, he is the judge of the universe. And he is our Father. We are his children. We are his beloved. We don't need to twist his arm. He loves us. He cares for us. But be careful to understand he answers our prayers for his glory and our good. He's not the selfish judge with selfish motives. He answers our prayers for his glory and our good. Now, when we look at verse 8, what does this mean? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, us. When we pray, God will answer us speedily. Now, how does that work when we pray and there's no answer? Because we've all prayed, have we not? We've all prayed and the answer did not come straight away. In fact, maybe the answer has not even yet come to many a prayer that you've been praying. Well, here's another wonderful, encouraging truth. You see, the Bible tells us, and shall not God avenge his own elect, there in verse 7, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What does this mean? Well, God is saying that when you think I'm delaying, I'm not. See, so often we think, well, God hasn't heard me. I can't see it happening, therefore nothing is happening. But that's not true at all. Do you realize the moment you pray according to the will of God, God gets to work. God is at work. We may not see the answer to prayer until later on, but God is at work bringing all things together for good in answering that prayer. You see, we are looking for the end result when we don't understand that he is at work in time, in miraculously bringing that answer to prayer to fruition. That's why we have a problem with prayer. If we don't see the answer straight away, we get discouraged and we stop praying. And really, God is saying, no, I'm at work. I'm at work in unseen ways that you can't imagine. I'm at work in that lost family soul that you can't even imagine. I'm bringing someone along their path. I'm convicting them. You can't see the inner workings of the soul. And yet we become discouraged when we don't see an answer straight away. But what does the Lord say? I will avenge them speedily. I'm at work. Don't you worry. And when you pray, I am at work. I will work a work. And that is a wonderful, encouraging truth. That though we may not see the wheels of God's hand at work moving, we will one day in the end. What we need is faith. You see, the problem is not God's ability or willingness to answer prayer. The problem is our faith. When we do pray, unfortunately, so often we don't pray in faith. Again, we're like the widow. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. One problem is we have not because we ask not. We don't pray. The other problem we have, we don't pray in faith. We don't pray believing. What did the Lord say in the book of James? If we don't pray believing, then we can be guaranteed that prayer will not be answered. Why? Because God says in his word so many promises that he will hear us, he wants to hear us, he invites us to come, we have the riches of his grace, he will work according to his will, we just need to pray, believing. trusting Him, that He will work His way. And He will work. And He is at work. Amen? The problem isn't our... problem isn't God's answering. The problem is our lack of faith. That's why this parable ends as it does. Notice lastly, here's the challenge, the rebuke. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Wow. What a challenge. The Lord is saying, when I come, will I find anyone with genuine faith? Not anyone that's saved, but will I find any Christians that are praying, believing? Will I find anyone that realizes what prayer really means? What a challenge for us. Now, it's an open-ended question because, do you notice, there is no answer. Some have said, well, we live in the last days and we live in days of apostasy, and that's indicating, well, there'll be no one. I don't believe that. I believe that when the Lord comes, there will be some with faith. Though there will be in the minority, the challenge for us is, let's be that minority. Amen? Let's be that contrast. Though churches of even like faith, like ours, independent Baptist churches, are going down the path of apostasy, and they're throwing in the rock bands, and there goes the Wednesday night prayer meeting. There goes prayer. There goes the focus on praying. And the young people are all excited about getting their emotions pumped up through CCM. What about getting excited biblically about God, about who we have in the Lord, and seeing genuine miracles happen, not works of the world and the flesh? Amen? Let's be that contrast. That's the kind of church I trust that you want to be a part of. That's why we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, so that we can pray together, we can encourage each other. But then there's tonight, there's tomorrow, as we go into our daily lives. Let me encourage you to not pray like the widow. Amen? We are not Paul. We have a God who has given us every rich blessing in Christ. But the question is, will we take hold of the blessing of prayer? I've certainly been encouraged. I trust you have been. The Lord is coming. Let's be faithful as a church. Let's be faithful as Christians to not only pray, but to pray in faith and to be passionate about prayer. In fact, if we understand the privilege we have, we'll be more keen than this widow woman. You know, she was desperately crying out, but we can cry out in confidence. Day or night, we can come to the Lord. Amen? Let me encourage you to try it out this week. No, let me take that back. Don't try it out, please. Amen? Don't try it out. Believe the Lord. Amen? Believe the Lord. And let's, as a church, grow together. Amen? Running the race, it's a long-distance run, not a sprint. So that means we need to press on, grow, and grow in this area of prayer. And He spake this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.